Imagine a devastating tsunami strikes the island of Oahu. Ports are blocked, bridges are damaged, hospitals are overwhelmed. It's a nightmare scenario that's been playing out on Ford Island this week. Service members from 10 nations taking part in a disaster response training exercise as part of the 2018 Rim of the Pacific War Games. The Conversation's Ryan Finity was on hand to observe it.
The fictional country of Griffin looks suspiciously similar to the island of Oahu. But it's been a tough week in Griffin. The island nation was hit by a powerful tsunami, damaging vital ports and airfields. Local hospitals exceeded capacity. A call goes out for help. That was the scenario given to sailors and soldiers from 10 different nations participating in RIMPAC this week. Japan was in charge of the response. International teams of engineers surveyed damaged airfields, divers worked to reopen blocked ports, and pilots evacuated sick and injured patients. U.S. Navy Reserve Captain Daryl Long is a deputy commandant for the exercise, known as Humanitarian Assistance and Disaster Relief, or HADR. He's from the Florida Panhandle and has weathered his fair share of hurricanes, so this mission hits close to home.
That mission is really to bring initial crisis response to a location that has experienced extreme devastation from perhaps an earthquake, tsunami, and most recently that some could relate to would be the island of Puerto Rico that just recently underwent a major hurricane effort that are, quite frankly, still undergoing some disaster relief efforts.
So this is a very real-world scenario then?
Oh, absolutely. Very real-world.
What are some of the other historical instances that this type of exercise is based off of?
Another one would be the tsunami that hit Japan back in 2011 when it hit one of their reactors. Mobilized several forces. U.S. forces came to assistance with the Japanese as well. Also, the island of the Philippines in the Pacific had experienced a similar situation with a typhoon-type event and tsunami that had occurred. So several U.N. organizations that also came and rendered assistance and aid in trying to figure out how to really get supplies, basic necessities such as food, water, medicine, from ports out inland to those civilian populations that were most impacted by the devastation.
So what types of activities are sailors doing as a part of this training exercise? What types of actions would they take in a real-world scenario?
The immediate need would be assessing, engineering assessments of ports, airfields, infrastructure, housing, roads, bridges, waterways, clearing waterways, being able to allow for freedom of navigation in the littoral waterways so that we could get logistical supplies into a port, offload those from a cargo handling perspective, get them to a distribution center, work with the host nation to coordinate that effort with the host nation and determine the flow of those and where they would particularly go. In addition to that, you would have, in this scenario, for example, one of our task force is a general aviation battalion that's supporting search and rescue operations and medical support, medevacs. Sometimes in these events, you see hospitals that may have devastation as well. And in particular, this scenario, we have two hospitals, part of the scenario, that have received some degraded availability. So we would provide some additional medevac. For example, we've got the USNS Mercy, a hospital ship that's standing by supporting this particular exercise portion of HADR.
So tell us a little bit about the scenario. What is what's happening here in this camp?
What's happening is over the last day or so, we've discovered that there's been 3 out of 7 airfields that have been damaged. We have debris floating in the harbors. We have ports that have been damaged. We have 2 bridges that have been damaged as well that have been uncovered as part of the tsunami effect. So as part of that, it's a matter of freedom of navigation, being able to figure out the right port at the right location to help with the logistics supply, and if not, figure out an alternate location where we could bring our logistical supply vessels in. Going out to the roadways, we may have to look at an alternate container storage yard to provide some storage location for our cargo terminal companies. as part of that exercise and figuring out an appropriate distribution center, because the roads have been damaged and some of the ports. And then going from point A to point B, we had the roadways that have been damaged. It's a matter of, okay, are there any alternate routes that we may be able to figure? For example, one of our scenarios is there has been extreme obstructions of the roadways, so we have both our Navy Seabees and our Army Engineer Battalion working closely together to work to clear and grub roadways as part of the scenario, so we can create an open roadway to get those supplies where needed. In addition to that, as I mentioned previously, is the airfield damage, and we're doing those assessments to determine if they will in fact have an impact to our General Aviation Battalion that's providing support for medevac and or assistance with evacuations.
And how about here in Hawaii? We're pretty vulnerable to a tsunami or a hurricane. Is that a contingency that the Navy trains for, responding to something here?
Yes, it is. In fact, as recently brought to my attention, that the Pearl Harbor here is a staging area to support such event, just as this.
And so this, what you're practicing right now, could potentially be used in real life one day here should such a disaster occur.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the beauty of this exercise, is it's really brought, you know, the Hawaiian Regional Health Center, which in fact they're going through a certification event, and we'll have a moment here soon to kind of walk you through and show you some of that hospital laydown area that they'll be preparing for a mass casualty event, and those staging areas for such event, in the event that it did occur.
On the other side of the camp, a field hospital is being set up as an overflow site for local hospitals. But there is a real-life benefit to Hawaii's medical providers. Thomas Bookman is the emergency manager for all of the Army's medical facilities across the Pacific.
So we're going to do a mass casualty. We're going to move patients by air, ground, and sea operations to six islands of the Hawaiian Islands, and plus two states, Washington and Hawaii. And that piece is going to be our federal coordinating center, the National Incident Management System. We're moving 30 patients to and from Washington State. What we're going to do here on Ford Island, we're going to be moving to communicate with the Hawaii Emergency Healthcare Agency. We'll move patients to 27 hospitals within the state of Hawaii on those six islands.
So you're actually incorporating local government agencies into this effort?
Yes, sir. And plus, this year was the first time we ever included the CERT team, a Certified Emergency Assessments Team from each of the counties. So Eva Beach and Kailua will also, CERT teams will be flying Army helicopters in there to extract five of their patients out.
And so what drove you to incorporate state and local offices into this training?
Yeah, the most important thing, we need to be resilient, because even our military members live in your communities. And we need to have it so that, especially the healthcare mission, if something would happen, we need to make sure that all of our civilian and military organizations, healthcare-wise, we're on the same sheet of music, and we can communicate together during a disaster.
Overseeing the local healthcare response is Dr. Chris Crabtree. He's the director of Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management and oversees the statewide emergency response for Hawaii's healthcare providers. We talked as he was setting up a 50-bed hospital in the middle of an open field.
We are actually going through a scenario in which there's a catastrophic event that occurs that affects all the islands. And so healthcare is impacted, and there's all the hospitals are getting surges of patients to the point where it's becoming overwhelming, and the level of acuity of the patient is too much for some of these hospitals, so that those patients need to be transported to Oahu. And so this RIMPAC does several things. One, it allows those hospitals to practice activating their emergency operation plan, standing up their command center, working with a surge of patients and seeing how that works with their current plan, and then working with us, who we coordinate with the military, to send helicopters over to the neighbor islands to pick up those patients and bring them here to Oahu. And that's a big part of it. And so on Oahu, what we're doing is, this is a field hospital, 50 bed. And the idea is it increases capacity and capability for the healthcare sector. And so we're fielding patient actors, or rather for the scenario, patients that are gonna be walking wounded. So they're gonna come approach us, we're gonna process them through our triage, put them through our treatment tents, and then what we're going to do is we're going to send them by ambulance buses and by military helicopter to the hospitals on Oahu. Our main objective is to help support current patient services, whether it's hospitals, whether it's long-term care, home health, hospice, into the whole continuum of care, and that we can continue at least to sustain to a degree our healthcare system.
29 of Hawaii's 30 hospitals participated in this week's exercise. It was also the first time that volunteer neighborhood response teams took part, all with the dual goal of preparing the military to respond to anything and, as one official put it, make sure that Hawaii doesn't become the next Puerto Rico. From Fort Island, I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
RIMPAC 2018 will run through the end of July, and we'll continue to bring you coverage of the exercise throughout the month. And next week on The Conversation, we'll take you onto the aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson.